Hello everyone, my name is Brian Van Schoot. As said, I'm from SDSU. I'm going to talk about Amaranthus palmeri, or Palmer amaranth, growth and control options in South Dakota. So a little overview, I'm going to talk about some dispersal mechanisms, how it got here, and then also some Palmer locations in South Dakota, and specifically the infestation in Corsica, South Dakota. And I'll continue with the greenhouse herbicide study, some future actions and acknowledgments. So a couple different ways that weed seed can spread. One is natural dispersion, so you have wind, and also animals such as ducks, geese, livestock. South Dakota, being in the prairie pothole region, sees a lot of seasonal waterfowl migrations. So you can get the ducks and the geese, they pick up the seed from a southern region, and then when they move north for the winter, then they can drop it off in previously uninfested fields. Which is where we saw what we think in a couple different locations in South Dakota. Then you have artificial dispersion, mechanical, custom combines coming in and out. I know just traveling to and from Corsica, you see a lot of combines moving around, a couple different just custom crews, just a big old convoy going down the road. It's very hard to clean out those combines, and you can get seed dropped without even knowing it. And it can also be found in seed as a contaminant. Iowa, parts of Minnesota have seen it, Palmer spread through pollinator mix. So they're dealing with the problem through that mechanism of dispersion. And it can also be found in animal feed and manure. It's been found in chicken feed, some cottonseed meal. And the manure specifically is how the Corsica infestation occurred, which I'll get into a little bit later. So here's just a map of South Dakota, some of the infestations we found. It's been in Bennett County, Brule, Gregory, and Douglas. Corsica is located in Douglas County. And the blue star is Brookings, where SDSU is located. And the red is Aurora, where I did some other studies. So if it pops up there, it's not my fault, I guess. So the Corsica infestation started through the manure, like I said. It's artificial just because it was introduced through the hog manure from a nearby truck washout. So the truck moved hogs from a southern state to Corsica, washed out at the station, and the grower got the washout manure and spread it into his field. So he spread that along the edge and in a line through his field in the fall of 2015. And the next year we looked at yield losses based on the Palmer density at the harvest. And we also collected some seed for greenhouse study and future uses. So one thing that the grower did that we kind of advised against, he combined diagonally through the field, right through the patch of Palmer. So as a result, in 2017, the pattern was not really a line anymore. It was crisscrossed through the field going diagonal with the rows. And it was much harder for the combine to move around this year, which he combined diagonally the other way now, so it's even worse. So then we saw that, took a couple pictures, which I'll show, and we noted Palmer germination throughout this year and saw that it started in about mid-June and there were new flushes all the way through August 15. So here we have a picture of Corsica in 2016. The top picture faces north and you can see the line where the manure spreader went, and the bottom picture faces south, just a continuation of that line. So just talking about that yield study we did, we just took different densities and we got an incremental loss of 9%. So for every Palmer plant there was a 9% soybean yield loss, to a maximum of about 35%. And we got this using the rectangular hyperbolic yield loss function provided by Cousins, where I is the incremental loss, D is density, and A is the maximum yield loss. And Davis et al. Reported yield loss of 2 to 30% at 8 plants per square meter, which was similar to what we found in that area of yield losses between 7 and 34% in that same density range. So here we can see in 2017, it's a little bit harder to see, but the top picture faces north again, where you had the line that ran with the rows, it now runs diagonal. So that was kind of interesting to see as it popped up throughout the summer. And then the bottom picture faces to the south. The diagonal spread isn't quite as large, so you can still see the manure spreader path. So to continue on with the greenhouse herbicide study, we wanted to look at different herbicides, how they affected the Palmer amaranth population that was found specifically in Corsica. So to do this, we planted the seeds in a greenhouse potting mix or sand, which was just for the pre-emergence treatments. And densities in the first study were 20 to 25 plants per pot, and in the second, 15 to 20 plants. So the pre-emergence herbicides were applied immediately after planting within a day, and the post-emergence, we applied those at the 3 to 4 true leaf stage. In the first study, the plants were about 2 to 4 inches tall. Each treatment had 10 pots, and in the second study, there was more variability in the height at that same leaf stage. So we split it into 5 plots of 2 to 4 inches and another 5 at 4 to 8 inches. And all the treatments were evaluated at 4 weeks for the post-emergence and 7 weeks for the pre-emergence after application. So here's just a table of what we applied. For the pre's, we did atrazine and dual magnum. All these herbicide brands are just based on availability of what we had, nothing promoting anything. And then our post-treatments were atrazine, Callisto, Clarity, Harmony, Liberty, and Roundup, and all the adjuvants or surfactants that would normally be used when applying these chemicals in the field. So the reason for using most of these was just because there's documented resistance to atrazine, mesotrione, thiophensulfuron, and glyphosate in the U.S. according to the International Weed Survey. The other herbicides that we use, such as dicamba, were just used based on local usage and the fact that they're going to be used more heavily in the years to come. So for the results, I'll just walk you through this table. We have the timing, as well as the soil, whether it's sand or potting mix, the herbicide, and then more in-depth detail about each herbicide, followed by the percentage of control for study 1 and study 2. And what we found was that the Corsica population is tolerant to atrazine, glyphosate, and thiophensulfuron. The atrazine was applied 3 different ways as a pre, where it did slightly better in the sand than the potting mix with 10% compared to 0. As a post, it had 25% in the first study and no control in the second. And we also did atrazine as a pre-application and a post-emergence application, which saw no control in either study. Glyphosate was at 60% for each study, and thiophensulfuron had no control in either study. It was most susceptible to S-metolachlor, dicamba, and glufosinate. The S-metolachlor saw a little bit better control in the sand with 195% control, and in the potting mix it was at 95 and 85. The dicamba saw the best control for the post applications with 190, and glufosinate was at 90 over both studies. So from this we could safely assume that the population appears from a source where the herbicide resistance or tolerance was already present. So just to wrap everything up, the best control options out of what we used were pre-application of S-metolachlor, which is a G15 long-chain fatty acid inhibitor, and a post-application of dicamba, synthetic auxin, or glufosinate, which is a glutamine synthetase inhibitor. And the worst control was atrazine, the G5 photosystem 2 inhibitor, at any timing, whether it's pre-alone, post-alone, or pre and post, and also thiophensulfuron for just a post that had 0% control. The one we didn't really talk about too much was mesotrione, the HPPD, just because it varied the most in control. It had 90% over the first study, and then in the second study it went to 40% control. And in the second study, with the differing heights with 2 to 4 and 4 to 8, we didn't really see any difference in herbicide efficacy over those height differences. So in the future actions, we'd like to look at other populations in South Dakota and determine herbicide efficacy, hopefully branch out, use some more herbicides, see what works, what doesn't, and also continue any education efforts through multiple outlets, through some field days or extension information. And with that, I'd like to thank my advisor, Dr. Sharon Clay, David Voss, for the use of some spray equipment, and also the South Dakota Soybean Research and Promotion Council and SDSU. And with that, are there any questions?
We got time for questions.
Yes. The question was if I tried any other tank mixes with mesotrione to see if it worked. No, I just looked at the label, see what it kind of called for and what we had on hand, so we didn't try any other variations with any other adjuvants.
Any other questions?
Just due to, mostly due to bench space, didn't really have enough room for that, and these were the ones wanted to see atrazine, which had resistance compared to S-metolachlor, just to see if that was the biggest goal, but mostly it was just due to limited space and product availability. Yes. Yeah, so why I thought the size difference didn't come into play. Palmer has been shown to be pretty much about when it hits that 2 to 4 inch height, it's resistant or tolerant as about as it's going to be, so getting any bigger, it's not really going to show much more difference. So that's the biggest reason I think I didn't see any differences.
One more.
Yeah.
So what would you recommend to that grower?
So we recommended dicamba, spraying it on, because his second year he used Xtend beans. He sprayed it. It was too late. The palmer was about 2 feet tall. Which, surprisingly enough, it worked okay. But it had a lot. Part of the experiment, what I did, visited it every week, took pictures, some measurements. Some it controlled pretty well, the smaller ones, the bigger ones curled up, and after about a month or two it started growing again. They all flowered. As far as that goes, I would say spray earlier. Dicamba was okay. He didn't get a prion. We tried to see, but it was just too dry that year. So that would be my recommendation, just pre and... He's usually, so his rotation is usually a corn and soybeans. He just looked at it with Xtend is coming out. He's wants to try that and see if it'll work. It just didn't work as well just due to timing.
All right, thanks, speaker.